saved. I'm glad to be a part of God's people. And I trust that tonight you'll be praying that God would use us in these evenings. Have no desire to be a part of the meeting if I can't be a help. And I really need your prayers. Turn with me, please, in your Bibles tonight to Psalm 68. Psalm 68. It was a wonderful blessing to gather under the tree with a few of the men and have a time of prayer. And then to get to meet and hear the moderator as he turned quickly to Psalms and to experience his humble spirit. I believe that God honors the humble. I'm convinced of that. Truth is, tonight, as has already been so wonderfully put, God doesn't view any of us as being great or grand. I'm glad we're just all His children. And tonight, I need something from heaven. And so I trust that you'll be praying to that end. I want to read one verse. We'll call on God for His help, and then we'll take the text and preach the message. Verse number 19, Psalm 68. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. Dear God in heaven, we bow humbly before Thee tonight, recognizing our great need and Thy greatness. Lord, tonight we are fully aware of the fact that if You do not touch, there'll be no preaching done. But Lord, I'm glad that You can take even the most crooked stick and You can draw a good straight line with it. I beg tonight that You'd be honored with all that's said. I want to thank You for the choir that's sung tonight, for the way they've blessed our hearts, for the good songs that have turned our attentions heavenward. I pray tonight for fresh anointing from on high. I pray that You would touch, Lord, with renewed spirit, that You would help us tonight to glean all that we can and all that would be pleasing unto Thee from this text. Lord, I pray You'd touch that one that may be here in the service tonight, lost and undone. Save that poor sinner. And then, dear God, I beg that You'd be with those tonight who may be at a guilty distance from Thee, even though believers. Help us, Lord, and I pray that You'd draw them with good cords of conviction. And then, Lord, for those who may be staggered a bit in their faith, I pray that tonight would be that rejuvenating evening, that You'd help us to look upon the face of Jesus and recognize You're still in control. Now help us, Lord, in this evening. In Jesus' name we beg it. Amen. This one particular verse that the psalmist has given us seems to be all that's necessary for at least one entire message. You'll notice here that he opens up encouraging us to be the kind of believers who would not be ashamed of our God. He says with clarity, "Blessed be the Lord." I believe that he calls on us to be an open Christian, to be the kind of Christian that doesn't hang our head in shame, and the kind of Christian that's far too guilty, as Spurgeon said, of a guilty silence. I pray tonight that you would get hold of what the psalmist is saying, and that I would get hold of it, and that we'd recognize that a God who's grand enough to save us is a God who's worthy of all of our praise. So blessed be the Lord. And then notice who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Selah is tacked on to the close of this verse. It's there with great purpose and intent. When he gives us this word, he is saying to us, be still now, ponder the thought that I've just given you. Mull it over in your mind. Hesitate a while and draw in from all of the affairs of the world. It may be that he's saying to us in 2008, get your mind a little bit off of politics now and a little more on God. It may be that He's saying to us, get your mind a little off of the economy and a little more on God. Settle in for a little while and not be so concerned about what the fuel pump says and think a little more about what God says. In other words, unhook, if you would, from those things that clutter our minds and cause us to become like Martha, who is cumbered about with too much busyness and unable to worship. It's very important that we take time away from all of these things that may be very important in their own venue, but so little in importance when they're compared to the things of God. So he says here, Selah, take a little time to pull away. Take a little time to examine closely the words that have been spoken. This is the Holy Writ. This is God's Word given to us. There will be much here for us if we'll just absorb it as God has given us the privilege to do. So he says, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. I'm very interested this evening, as the Lord's put it in my heart, on these benefits. You know, benefits give us the root word that helps us to understand something about those benevolent gifts. In other words, if you have a benevolence fund in your church, if you have a benevolent heart, it is that which is given out of that heart. It's given freely. And then it gives us the thought of the benefactor. You see, benefits are no better than the benefactor. Now tonight, if you look to the government to try to help you in a time of need, you may ought to understand that they're really operating in bankruptcy. So that the benefits that may would come from the government are not really backed up by a wonderful benefactor. If tonight you were to tell me all of your problems and your woes, and I were unable to meet those, I may make you a lot of promises, and I may tell you that I know the benefits you need. But if I am not one who has those benefits, the benefactor is depleted. I can do you no good. But these benefits that are made mention of here by the psalmist are benefits that are backed up by the benefactor. That's the reason he says, blessed be the Lord, because he is the benefactor of all the benefits. You'll find no shortage in heaven. There is no lacking in the storehouse of God. I'm glad that he has all that's necessary for my needs and all that's necessary for yours. In fact, he specializes in taking care of his children. And he's done so in some unusual circumstances. We're not facing anything today that he hasn't seen before and brought his children through before. In fact, many of them have seen much worse, but God Almighty knows how to feed his children. Now notice here these benefits. They're not itemized. They're not categorized. And so I need to find a way to attach myself to this overall term of benefits. Sometimes the best way for me to understand the benefits that I'm blessed with is if I begin to realize what is not in my life. In other words, I may recognize great blessings that are in my life when I recognize what's been kept out of my life. A couple of weeks ago, I was preaching revival effort in the Atlanta area. And while I was there, a pastor friend of mine, his daughter has fallen to leukemia, 9 years old. And it's very aggressive. And so they had placed her there in one of the best facilities that's in the southeast for children's cancers. And I went and visited with them while they were there. They were beginning these very radical treatments on little Morgan. And while I was there, I would walk down the halls of this particular hospital. I met child after child with no hair on their head. And I saw moms and dads as they would pull the little wagons and their babies in those little wagons and getting treatment for cancer in a small body. And I thought to myself when I left from that hospital, I'd just been in there and hugged the neck of a daddy whose daughter is facing leukemia and death. And I was just there hugging the neck of two granddaddies whose hearts were broken and whose hearts were pure before God. One a preacher and the other a deacon in a local church. Good men. And I thought, Tony, you're no better than they are. But God's been good to you. And I'm not visiting this hospital because it's one of my grandbabies. I'm telling you, God Almighty sometimes helps us to see His benefits on our life when we recognize what hasn't come in. Now I want to say to you tonight, thanks be to God. God's blessed me to not be in the poorhouse. Had I continued the journey like my father, who was a drunkard, I'd have been one who was in the poorhouse, laid up somewhere in a nasty little crack house with nothing. But I'm telling you, God Almighty's let me pay my bills. He's given me the needs that have been before me and my family. And I haven't had to become a ward of the state. That's a blessing. What a great benefit. I haven't had to be placed into the mental wards. I probably would have had to have been placed into the mental wards. I'd have probably scorched my mind with alcohol and with street dope. And I'd have been so cumbered about with the sins and the guilt of my life, just like my father and just like my grandfather. But I'm telling you, by the grace of God, I haven't had to be in an insane asylum. That's a blessing. I've had to visit a few. And I've had some think I ought to be committed. But thanks be to God, He's kept me sane. Amen. I saw an interesting little thing the other day. Said, whoever dies with the most toys wins. I thought, what an idiot. I'm going to tell you who wins. Whoever dies in this crooked world sane. Sane and having a mind toward God. Amen. It's a wonderful thing to have a freed up mind. Not to be cumbered with this world. Tonight I'm able to be here. When we came on these grounds tonight, me and my wife, this is the first time I've ever been in this meeting. I said, dear God in heaven, I can't believe how good you've been to me. All those years ago in my youth, I started preaching. And when I started preaching, I'd run to every camp meeting in the country. Every little tent meeting, every little revival. And I can't believe that God Almighty's let me come now and be a part of this meeting in a preaching way. That's quite an honor. I'm a free man tonight. I ought to be in prison, but I'm not in prison. That's a great benefit tonight. The fact that I'm not in prison. I ought to be in prison, but I'm not in prison. I ought to be tonight still like I was, a bond slave to the sins that ruled and controlled me. I can remember when sin was a terrible taskmaster in my life. I can remember when I didn't have the power, seemed like, to say no, and the temptations would be strong, and my sin nature would say, that's what you need, and I'd just kind of salute it. And I'd say yes to it, but thanks be to God, Jesus came in my heart. I'm not a bond slave to sin anymore. I'm a free man. And that's a great benefit. Tonight there are thousands of people that just because of the passions of their sin, just because of the sins in their life, and never coming to Jesus, they're slaves to those sins. Tonight, because of Jesus, when temptation comes my way and comes yours, I have the privilege to say, no. No. I believe I'll go somewhere and worship God. No. It's wonderful to be free. And tonight I'm not in hell. I ought to be in hell, preacher. But I'm not in hell. I ought to be in hell for the times that I sit on church pews in my anger and in my frustration and I said no to Jesus Christ. I ought to be in hell because I sat and I said I refuse that. And I laughed at religion and I laughed at church and I laughed at my little grandmother and I laughed at my mother and I thought religion was just for old women and children. I ought to be in hell, but I'm not. Nor will I ever be. Glory to God, I'm telling you, it's good when you think of the benefits of God. I'm blessed tonight with the great benefit of conviction that came in my heart and in my life. I can remember as a teenage boy, mixed up, angry, bitter, product of a broken home, didn't know good men. Every man I knew was a drunkard, a womanizer, fighter, rambler, gambler, you name it, whatever they thought would make them a little more manly. All I could remember was my mother crying, weeping, my little grandmother being reduced to nothing, taking me down to the river bar, saying, we're going to have to get your grandpa out of the river bar again. I can remember my little grandmother. She wouldn't have been 125 pounds soaking wet. She'd stand in the doorway of that old river bar. And she'd call in there and she'd say, hey, it's Carlin in there. Somebody'd say, yeah, he's in here. Send him out here. They'd say, he's passed out. Drag him out here. She said, I'm not coming in that ungodly filth. My little grandmother had some spunk about her. They'd drag him out. She'd say, throw him in the back seat. She put him in the back seat of that old car, and me and her would get him over to the house, and I'd try to help Granny drag him over into the house and then into the bedroom, and she'd take that big old man and work him up into the bed, and I'd try to help her. I can remember my little grandmother getting down at the end of that bed, and she'd take his old dirty shoes off. The stench of vomit all over them many times. She'd peel them off and then she'd peel off those old dirty socks. My little grandmother'd cap her hands over those old feet of my grandpa. She'd bow down to the foot of that bed. She'd say, God in heaven, he's not much, but he's mine. And I don't want him to go to hell. Dear God in heaven, save Garland. And she'd pray and she'd pray and she'd pray. I'd stand back in the room and I'd think, my little granny's lost her mind. She's lost her mind. But later on, God saved Garland. Last 15 years of his life, he sat in church, waved his hand toward heaven, tears running down his cheeks, saved and on his way to heaven. And I'd sit around as an angry teenager, and I'd say, I don't want any part of any of that. And I'd withdraw from it. I ought to be in hell. But God, in his kindness, kept convicting me. Kept coming, knocking on my door. Knocking on my door. My father drank himself into stupor after stupor and died with a massive heart attack. Exploded his heart with alcohol. And after that, my mother remarried. She married a preacher. Straight out of home of a drunkard into a preacher. That's not a baby step. I'm telling you the truth. He'd carry me into those little storefronts. He never pastored full time anywhere. He'd take me in those little storefronts. He'd clean them out.
He'd say, Tony, we're going to fix a place to worship. We're going to fix a place where people come in here about Jesus. And he'd strike up a little old piano there, and then nobody'd come to play it, and he'd break out his guitar. He'd start playing that guitar, and then he'd preach, and he'd make me sit and listen. And I thought, man, I had a crazy drunkard for a father. Now I got a fanatic religious man for a father. I don't know what in the world. I'm going to be as twisted up and as warped as a termite in a yo-yo. But in a little while, God in heaven, when I realized that man was real, he's in heaven now and he died my hero. When I realized he's real, and he'd preach about Jesus, and I'd begin to hear that, and I'd get under conviction. I'd sit back there, and I'd listen, and I'd say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. No. No. Thank God for that sweet conviction. That conviction that came into my heart and told me I was a sinner and let me know there was a Savior. And then that glad and glorious night when the benefit of salvation came into my life. Mixed up, angry, bitter teenager, I bowed at a little Naugahyde couch. I'd made it all the way home. I thought I was scot-free. About 2 o'clock in the morning, I bowed there and I said, God in heaven, help me. My mama comes squalling out of the bedroom. My daddy came squalling out on the other side, got down beside of me. And I'd gone down a little old renegade sinner and came up a Christian born again. Benefit of salvation. It's wonderful. And immediately, just like that, just like that, there was a change in my heart. Amen. That change was so real.
Listen, yes.
Amen. That instantly, without going to Bible college, instantly he began to sanctify me. Amen. He set me apart. I came up from there. The things I had loved, I despised. The things I had despised, I fell in love with them, and nobody had to make me do it. The benefit of sanctification. And that was just the beginning. He just kept doing that all the way along. The wonderful benefit of preservation. I'm telling you tonight, he has preserved me. I am on my way to heaven. And can't be turned around. There's not a devil in hell can change it. On my way to heaven. Now I say those are some benefits. Some wonderful, wonderful benefits. Notice the text again. Not only the benefits, but daily he loadeth me. Daily he's doing this. 7 days a week. 52 weeks in a year. I'm turning 52 this Thursday. I will have been saved. I was figuring this up coming up the road. I will have been saved 38 years. That's 13,870 days. That he said to me, good morning. Have something special for you today. And hours make up days for 332,880 hours. He has constantly been delivering benefits in my direction. I want you to notice that the text is very clear that these are daily benefits. This is why so many Christians stay a little uptight all the time. Because we want next week's benefits. We won't know that Social Security gonna make it. We won't know we're going to be able to get to the end of the line and everything be all right. And God said, I know how to feed you today. You don't need tomorrow's yet. I don't need gas money for tomorrow yet. God gave me gas money for today. I fully suspect that when tomorrow rolls around, He'll know how to dole it out again. He's well able to meet our needs. Daily loadeth us. Daily loadeth us. And here's what's amazing to me. He never balks. Never balks at it. Now tonight, some of you may fall in love with me. I sure hope so. I love it when people love me. I like that. I've been on the other side of that thing. I don't like it when people don't love me. I love for people to love me. You may fall in love with me, and if you do, glorious. But if I show up at your house in the morning and I'm knocking on the door, and I'm standing there looking at you and I say, good morning, brother. I'm in need. How about giving me a little breakfast? Oh, I'd imagine you'd say, well, Brother Finney, come in here. Mama's been cooking. Everything's nice. It's on the table. The spread's on. Sit down here with us and enjoy breakfast. I say, well, hey, man, he did fall in love with me. I go in there and I sit down. I eat a big breakfast. About noon, I come back. I say, I don't have any lunch. You mind if I have some lunch? Well, yeah, Brother Finney, come on in here. You notice how it's changing just a little bit? Tomorrow I show up, I knock on the door again. The next day I show up, and this day I say to you, hey, listen, I don't only need breakfast and lunch and supper. Do you have a grocery bag? I mean, really, I'm in need. Do you mind helping me? Now, I'd say that the most of you would probably go in there. You'd find some corned beef hash that you're not going to eat. Get out a couple of those old rusty cans. And you'd start filling up that bag with that macaroni that the meal moths has eat up. And you'd put it all in there and you'd come out there and you'd smile real big and you'd say, here you go, Brother Finney. Now you're hoping that I get the message with that stuff. And if I come back the next day and I knock, I'm telling you, I'm getting ready to wear you out. Are you not amazed that we have never worn out God? Are you not amazed? That every day, He daily loadeth us with benefits. I've been in need every day, and He just keeps on coming. Keeps on coming. And here's the beauty of it. I don't even have to go to His place. He's coming to mine. Without balking. Here's the sad thing about the story. He's had to make a lot of those trips to my house. While I was murmuring. And yet He still kept coming. I don't know that I understand that at all. We've tried to help some people through the years to church. I guess we've been abused like every other church. We've had freeloaders come along. We've had those that are spiritual bums. And they've just come around to mooch and see what they can get off the church. Try to milk somebody else. They've been to every church in the country. And they come and they wear us out. And you know what's amazing to me about those people? Is that usually, before it's over, what we're giving them is not good enough. It's amazing. It was wonderful in the beginning. But now, you mean you don't have a little more? Isn't there a little higher caliber of it? Yeah. Can't you do something a little greater than this? Yeah. The truth is, daily, the alarm clock goes off at the Finney house, and the Lord's already there. Wow.
early in the morning, lining up things so that all of the details will be taken care of. My daily needs will be met every day. And there have been some mornings when I've got up and I thought, oh, I can't believe this. I tell you, life's bad. So hard. Can't believe the economy. Oh, I'm not even going to be able to afford that next $20 steak. Oh, it's awful. It's killing me. I can't believe it. Get up and turn on Fox News. Yeah. CNN telling us what kind of next ingrate's going to be running the country. And oh, I'm just moaning and moaning. And he's still daily coming. What a love. What a compassion. What a merciful God. Never balking, never balking, never balking. Daily, daily, daily. There have been some times in your home, some times in your personal life, you know it's true, that he fed you through your grumbling. He fed you and your family through your complaining. He paid your bills through your moaning. Daily, he loadeth us. Thanks be to God. What a wonderful God. But not only daily, but he loadeth. This word is a word which is labor intensive. Now, I can't imagine in my mind, after having tried to study these years about the God of heaven, who could speak everything into existence, having to break a sweat over anything. So you can't really picture anything being too hard for him, nor anything causing him to have to labor. And yet this word is labor intensive. It literally means that he's bearing up under the hard part of the load now. That if necessary, he's rolling his sleeves up for me to take care of me and my little family. If necessary, he loadeth me like that hot loading of those trucks backed into those transfer warehouses. That labor-intensive work. God's here is declaring to his children, I love you so much that I will work for you. I will labor for you. I will be the servant for man. That's hard for me to get a hold of. Hard for me to get a hold of. God says, if I have to, I'll whip every devil in hell. The church of the living God's going through. Daily he loadeth. Now, I don't think there's any real labor involved to him taking care of my needs. I think the real labor is he's having to walk through my ingratitude. The real labor is he does it every day just because of his wonderful integrity, even though I don't acknowledge it. Me and my wife have two children living, one in heaven. Both our children are grown and have grandbabies. We have always so enjoyed doing something for those children. And now I tell you, we love doing something for those grandbabies. But it's so hard when you ever have to do even for your closest family members. And it seems like they don't even give you a nod. And you recognize there's no gratitude. It becomes a labor to give. It's hard to give then. God Almighty says, I'm willing to give in the hard time. I'm willing to come to your house. I know your house number. I'm willing to come down there and take care of you and your little family, even if you don't recognize it. And he's been there many times in my life without me recognizing it. Now I want you to look at your text, because here's the great core of the text. Bless the Lord who daily loadeth us. Look, if you will, at your text and notice the italicized words. literally he is saying here, because those words that are in italics, if you look at them here, blessed be the Lord who, helping us to understand it, loadeth us with benefits, helping us to understand it. But literally the text, without violating the text whatsoever, is saying to us here, blessed be the Lord. The Lord daily loadeth us. Now get this picture, because here is exactly what the text is saying. We always picture it that he's loading us up with these benefits. He's saying to Truth and Mercy up there, how about opening up that storehouse and give another benefit to this brother, another benefit to that sister. Dole it out here and dole it out there. But daily he loadeth us. He's not just doling out. He came into my world and loaded me up on him. When I bowed at that little black Naugahyde couch, he didn't just dole out something. He slipped down there and loaded me up. Got me on the great shoulders of mercy and said, I'll carry you on through now. So you know I'm going through. And he does that even with benefits. Years ago, my boy, he's always been a woodsy sort of fella. Any fish that you can find to catch, he wants to catch it. Anything that you can hunt down, he wants to hunt it. Anything he can skin out, he wants to trap it. He loves the woods. And so we'd take walks through the woods. He's just a little old fellow. Thousand questions. Every now and then, the way it'd get a little too hard for him. And he'd say, I'm tired. He'd begin doing this. I'm tired. Carry me, I'm tired. And then a little bit I'd reach down under his arms and I'd toss him up here and I'd start heading down through those woods with him. Now I didn't just load him up, but I kept my hands on his hands because he needed a little benefit. And every now and then the trail would be to where the limbs would be hanging a little low, and so I'd kind of squat on down there for him so he wouldn't bump that pretty little old head. I'd get way down because he needed a little benefit along with the loading. Yeah. And then every now and then I knew what he liked, and I'd bring both his hands together and I'd cup them with my one hand and I'd reach in my pocket and I'd get that candy that I knew he liked that I was carrying with me. Yes, sir. And I'd bring it out and I'd reach up there and in a little bit, like a little bird, I'd feel that mouth. And what would just be drool from one of your children would be sugar hitting me in the top of the head. And I'd feed him that candy because that's just a little benefit. Daily, God Almighty loads us up and with benefits along the way. He's not one who sits in heaven just doling out the goods. Oh no, he's carrying you and carrying me. And the reason I'm sure for heaven's not because I'm sure-footed, but because he is. I remember years ago when me and my wife ended up our firstborn son dying. His name was Daniel. We buried him in a little short grave outside of Walnut Cove, North Carolina. We walked down through that cemetery, started back out of there. My wife's knees were giving way, and I said, dear God in heaven, I need help. There was so much of that trip and so much of that journey that broke my heart so bad. I just recently laid prostrate before God. I said, God, whatever I am, whatever I have, I want to be yours. And then my boy is dead. And we walked down there, that little short grave. We come back out of there. And I thought, I don't know if I can keep living. I wish I had died.
hurts so bad. Everything prepared, all his little room, everything still in place. But tonight, all these years later, I'm standing in front of you and I'm preaching about the same God in heaven who was in control on that day. And I am living proof, and you, many of you are living proof that He picks us up. Amen. He loads us up. Amen. In those times when you don't have the strength, and gives us the benefits to go on with. Amen. When the rest of them have to run down and get drunk, rest of them have to have some dope, rest of them have to run into the dens of the night, glory be to God, He's given me candy. He's providing me with what I need. He's giving me the candy, helping me along. And then I went and sold everything we had. God said, I want you in this particular school. We went down to Tabernacle School and didn't know anybody in Greenville. Went through school and God Almighty was kind to feed us with those benefits. Got out of there and First Baptist Church of Conestoga was needing a pastor. Now, that was over 24 years ago. I went on over there. I thought, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Young Spurgeon has arrived. We'll convert this little town. Only about 700 plus people. We'll spill over into Greenville. We're going to have a nationwide revival. I found out there were some devils. It wasn't long until I had to deal with something. God Almighty said, there it is. Laid His finger on it. And I said, Lord, I don't want to deal with that. He said, you're going to have to deal with that. I said, I don't want to deal with that. In a little bit, He said, you deal with that. And so I dealt with it. I thought it was going to cost me everything. A little nucleus there at the time in a little cinder block building. A little small group of people. And trust me, everybody related. And so I made one mad. And I didn't realize how many kinfolk he had. One woman stood in the front yard of the church. And she railed at me in the front yard of the church and told everybody, don't come back in there and hear that man. He's a lunatic. She got on her telephone, called all her loved ones. You know, you don't realize it, but sometimes those loved ones still love the preacher and love God. And they come tell him. And so they began telling me. And I knew what they were saying on the phones. She was telling them, said, we were there a long time before him. Let's just stay right there in membership and let's come into a service a week. But let's don't give any money to that church. It'll have to fold. You know what they were saying? My little old children were that size then. Yeah. One here and one there. They were saying, starve his children out. Starve his children out. I laid on my face in my little office. My office at that time wasn't any bigger than your closet. Half a closet in a trailer. And I laid on my face in there. And I wept. And I said, dear God, is this really the ministry? I thought I came here to help. Looks like I've hurt. And I don't know how to fix it. And somehow in the floor of that little old office, he would load me up. He'd give me a little old benefit of grace. And I'd slip back to the pulpit and I'd try to preach again. And God Almighty turned that thing completely around. Amen. And thanks be to God, I'm pastoring now that same woman who stood in the front yard. She came to me just not long ago and she said, preacher, I want you to know that I really respect your prayers and I need for you to pray for my family about this issue. I buried her mama, I buried her daddy.
I'm telling you what, only God can do these things.
Loads us up. Loads us up and gives us benefits along the way. Life is too hard for you, ma'am. It's too brutal. This world is far too big and cruel for any of you men in this building or all of us put together. I'm telling you tonight, I have nothing to crow about except for the fact that there's a God in heaven who has daily, 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 daily loaded me up. Loaded me up on the shoulders of grace and give me wonderful benefits to keep me going along. And I say, praise His holy name. Thanks be to God. What I don't want to do, I don't want Him to have to keep coming to my house through my murmuring, through my complaining. I'd like to meet Him at the door a few mornings and say, glory to God, I knew You'd be here again. I've just been looking for You this morning. And He loads you up. And with benefits. Please stand, I'm through preaching. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.